Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Warning. This episode contains foul language and highlights more corruption within the United States government.
You are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with a friend, coworker, neighbor, expert, and sometimes even a fan of the show to talk about all things weird. My name is Ashley, and this is part 2 of our torture episode. Yes, we did release 2 episodes in one day. Yes, we are amazing. If you're playing this by accident, head back 1 episode to listen to part 1. I'm joined today by my lovely co-host Lauren and a very, very special guest. Her name is Clarissa Sanchez, and she has been a fan of our show since the very beginning, and her girlfriend surprised her and brought her out to record an episode with us last weekend. It was a really incredible experience, and we feel very lucky to have been able to do this, and now share it with you. In part 1, we discussed old school methods of torture that we sure are glad aren't performed anymore. And we talked about the genre of horror movie known as torture porn and why on earth people enjoy watching it. And now, here comes Mrs. X-Files herself for some more reasons that you shouldn't trust the United States government. Please enjoy part 2 of torture. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna be such a bummer today, but you guys
We've all
did
been
the,
a bummer.
Yeah, I was gonna say you guys beat me to it. But it would not be a Keep It Weird episode if I didn't point out the criminal acts of the United States government.
That's
God bless America. My home. Okay, so I am talking about modern torture today, and I don't think that we can talk about modern torture methods without talking about the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the CIA.
Oh, those darlings. So The Central Intelligence Agency was formed on July 26th, 1947, which, by the way, was less than 20 days after a UFO was sighted and obtained in Roswell, New Mexico. Just FYI, no. That's also when the NSA was secretly formed. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Was it a weather balloon? And they are a civilian foreign intelligence service of the federal government of the United States. They're tasked with gathering, processing, and analyzing national security information from all around the world. And the CIA has increasingly expanded its role in government since 1947. Like, initially, they were literally just supposed to, like, gather information, gather intel. But now they encroach on paramilitary operations, counterterrorism, and now, especially now, offensive cyber operations. So they're usually the ones that alert the FBI to child sex trafficking or child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout its existence, the CIA has been the subject of a large number of controversies, including but not limited to domestic wiretapping, recruiting Nazis, drug trafficking, lying to Congress, influencing law enforcement, and what we are talking about today, which is human rights violations or torture. The CIA does not call torture torture. They prefer to use the term enhanced interrogation techniques.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm already mad.
So these techniques were actually engineered techniques. The CIA hired two former military psychologists to develop alternative harsh interrogation techniques. And these psychologists, who I'm going to be talking about today, John Bruce Jessen and James Mitchell, actually spoke out about their experiences in 2017 for the very first time. Of course, they were on trial, which is why they were talking about their experiences. They were being sued.
No big.
They were speaking in response to a lawsuit filed by two former prisoners and the family of a prisoner who died. This was in 2002, none of whom were ever charged with a crime. So keep this in mind, like, as I'm telling you these, I have like two major stories that involve the CIA and modern torture. And just keep in mind that like every single person who was tortured in these stories was an innocent man.
No fucking so, way.
That is like truly devastating.
That's way horrible. Worse. This particular story, like I said, happened in 2002, but the lawsuit or the like the trial wasn't until 2 years ago, 2017. So the American Civil Liberties Union was the one that filed this lawsuit on behalf of these prisoners. The psychologists, Jessen and Mitchell, said during the lawsuit that they were uncomfortable with some of what the CIA was asking them to do, but continued to do their work anyway. They were making $1,000 a day tax-free, so that was probably a pretty good incentive to continue doing whatever the CIA asked because they made like literal millions of dollars.
Making the big bucks.
The CIA was claiming in this lawsuit that the techniques were designed to be mostly painless and cause no long-term harm to the prisoners, which is hilarious that they would even try to make that argument. But the former detainees at the heart of the ACLU suit have said that the techniques were very painful and left lasting psychological damage because, duh, of course it did.
Yeah.
They both suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and even participating in the trial over a decade later was a difficult experience for them. The men were like breaking down and crying at several points in their testimonies. Ugh. And again, I want to reiterate that these men were not charged for crimes. They ended up being innocent.
Of course.
And still had to go through
hell. Still had to go through months and some of them years of torture.
That's the worst part, is not even like what's happening to you physically, but what sticks in your brain. Like, we were talking about psychological torture, how you said that would, you were like, that's the worst for me. That's so true. Something that messes with your brain and that lasts your entire life.
Yeah,
that's so
they're
much
never
worse.
Going to be the same.
No, they can't go back to a normal life after that.
No. And all of this stuff, especially like modern torture, like you mentioned, wait, one of you mentioned earlier with like the Bush administration.
Me, yeah.
Yes. So the Bush administration, especially after the attacks on September 11th and getting the intel of like who was involved, who is planning more attacks, yeah. et cetera, et cetera. And the way they went about it was torture mm-hmm. All around. And some of the techniques that were discussed during this trial specifically were a technique called walling, which is where the prisoners were repeatedly slammed against supposedly flexible plywood walls that they claimed did not cause pain. They said it was discombobulating. It doesn't hurt you, but it jostles your inner ear and it makes a really loud noise.
Well, that A sounds bad.
Yeah.
But B, that would hurt.
That would hurt. I'm sorry. Yeah. It would hurt if you're being thrown multiple times against a mattress. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like eventually, like it's going to start hurting.
Yeah.
That's like people who say like, oh, I hit my dog with a rolled up magazine. It doesn't hurt them. It's just a loud noise. It's like, well, it's probably fucking both, dude.
Yeah.
It's probably both. Let me hit you with a rolled up magazine. Yeah. You can tell me.
On the face. How you feel. On the nose. And then you tell me if it hurts or if it's just a loud noise. So that was one of them. Another one was sleep deprivation, which is where the prisoner has handcuffs. And they're attached to a tether in a way that they can't lie down or rest against a wall. So usually like in the middle of a room. And then obviously they can't rest and they can't sleep and they can't. They just have to stand there. Ugh. One of the men said that the pain he experienced from that technique was excruciating in his arms, his back, his waist, his neck. I mean, your arms are above your head. Like, yeah. That's painful. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, you can say that it's not painful, but it is. Another one, which you brought up, I believe, cold cell, which is, this is actually one of the very few enhanced interrogation techniques, forms of torture, that the CIA is actually still authorized to use even today. Because George Bush, so again, this all happened in 2002. George Bush made a lot of these completely illegal in 2006. Mm-hmm. This one, though, this is still completely legal. This involves placing the prisoner in front of an air conditioning unit running on full blast or ice baths or like ice water baths and then bringing them out and putting them in a cold room. And the first recorded use of this took place, this happened throughout history, but recorded government use of this took place in 1961 when guards in a Mississippi state penitentiary doused detained civil rights activists with fire hoses and then turned on the air conditioning system full blast for 3 days.
3 days?
That's not even the worst.
No, thank you.
There's this horrible guy named Nguyen Van Thai. He was the highest ranking Viet Cong officer captured during the Vietnam War. And when the CIA got a hold of him, they placed him in a tiny white windowless room and turned on the AC full blast for 4 years.
What?
4 straight years.
No. He survived in for 4 years?
Oh, he was obviously fed, but yeah, he was cold for 4 years.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine?
I can't just be never cold. Comfortable.
I can't be cold for 5 minutes. No, I can't even imagine.
Pass.
4 years.
Where it's just your entire life is just being cold and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
You never get used to it.
Right.
And it's at that point, it's not even just being cold. You're in a windowless room. You're in a like confined, solitary space. Yeah, you're going to psychologically go crazy too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I actually think that, what did I say? Was it a white room? Tiny white windowless room. Yeah, which is something called white torture. There's also a dark torture. You can go either way. And white torture is when you're placed in a windowless, completely white room. Your clothes are white. The food they feed you is white. Everything is white and it's completely silent. That will drive you insane. Nuts. And then there's dark torture, which is when it's completely dark and there's loud music playing all the time. Mm-hmm. So you're never in silence and you don't have any like human contact. So you can't see, like you literally can't tell where the walls are. Ugh. So that's.
They're both brutal.
Awful.
Yeah. No winning either way.
So these trials were basically seeking retribution for the men who survived these methods, but they were also seeking restitution and possibly prosecution for the death of a man named Gol Ramon, who is the man whose family was in this lawsuit trying to sue.
Yeah. Okay.
So there were 16 prisoners at the time in 2002, 16 men spread out in 20 cells, shackled to a metal ring in the wall. In four of the rooms, the ones that were designed for the sleep deprivation, they stood chained by the wrists to an overhead bar. They wore diapers. When diapers weren't available, the guards would make substitute diapers with duct tape. And sometimes they didn't even do that, and they would be naked and have to release their bowels onto themselves standing there.
Oh, that's so sad.
The cells were unheated. They were pitch black day and night. Music was blaring around the clock. The CIA agents that were involved in this trial said that the conditions were good. They said, this is how they described it, they were nasty but safe. Bruce Jessen, one of the men on trial, left Ramon naked from the waist down, shackled to the cold concrete floor, and 5 days later he was found dead from hypothermia. According to Jessen, he had warned the site manager that the conditions were too harsh. But video evidence shows that it was actually Jessen who was the one debating to subject Ramon to interrogation, to these enhanced interrogation techniques. So he lied. Jessen supposedly suggested that when Ramon complained he was too cold, he was actually using a, quote, sophisticated Al-Qaeda resistance technique. And that when he claimed the inability to think due to the conditions and complained about, like, the violations of his rights as a human being, these were evidence of a, again, quote, health and welfare resistance strategy. Like, the dude was chained naked to a cold concrete floor in an uninsulated prison on the cusp of winter.
Oh, right. God.
And they were basically saying, like, oh, he was just trying to get out of it because it was a technique
he was trying to trick
by Al-Qaeda. And yeah, it was like, oh, wow. No, he's literally fucking freezing.
Suffering. Yeah.
And he died. So the CIA inspector general reported in 2005 in an internal investigation of Ramon's death that they would take no action against the CIA agents because, this is what he said, he assumed that the officers there would realize it was cold and would not leave a prisoner unclothed for a long period of time.
Ugh.
But that's exactly what they did. So it was like, well, you came in, you were like, well, I'm not going to press charges because I would assume that they wouldn't do this. And it's like, you literally have 100% proof that they did do this.
They did, in fact, do that.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
After Ramon's death. Oh,
There's a lot.
10 gas heaters were added in the cell block, but little had changed in the routines of the interrogation. Prisoners still weren't clothed. Prisoners would still be given ice baths, and not to mention the walling and the slaps and the solitary confinement. In the end, a settlement was reached and no one was convicted on the CIA side. No one got in trouble for this.
Oh, of course.
A statement released Mitchell and Jessen, those agents, the psychologists that came, like, created these techniques, said that it is regrettable that Mr. Ramon, Mr. Salim, and Mr. Bin Sood suffered the abuses, but they continued to deny responsibility for the men's mistreatment. They claimed that they were unaware of the specific abuses that ultimately caused Ramon's death, but they...
Nothing was done.
Something else that came out in this trial regarded a technique we all know as waterboarding, which this is where, in case you don't know, which you should, you've seen movies, this is where prisoners have water poured over their face to stimulate drowning. A lot of the time a wash rag is placed over their face as well. Again, this was banned in 2006 by the Bush administration because it was seen as, like, completely inhumane. Because it's, like, it's excruciating. It's basically, like, you get to experience drowning without dying.
Yep.
Over and over again.
No, which is my absolute nightmare because I'm, like, I have a really big fear of drowning and think it would be the worst way to die. And so to just experience that over.
Do you ever wash your face and then, like, you didn't get a good enough breath beforehand?
You're like, is this
it? You're like rinsing your hair.
You're rinsing your hair, and then you're like,
I haven't breathed.
Help me.
Sometimes so, I'm even, this is like the dumbest thing I'm ever going to say, but sometimes I'm even drinking a glass of water and I'm like, I am chugging this and I haven't breathed in ages. And I like take the glass away gasping for air. And Alex is like, you're a ridiculous person. But it happens.
Guys. Is that like your biggest phobia, is drowning?
Yes. I have a really big fear. I can't even drink water normally. Oh, and the thing that annoys me the most, which that's I mentioned pathetic. When I was talking about the movies, is that Dick Cheney was the one who was like, it's just a dunk in the water. Like,
just a dunk.
They're just like, they're just underwater for like a second. And like, no, that's not it at all. They're being drowned.
No, because the thing is like when you're underwater, when you do, because that used to be a form of torture. You'd be tied up upside down. You'd be dunked into water and then you'd be pulled out of water. And it is horrible.
Yeah.
But with your head submerged in the water, the prisoners would hold their breath until they couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. But with waterboarding, you can kind of, you can almost breathe just enough to like keep yourself alive.
Yeah.
You're not fully submerged in the water. The water is literally running over your nose and your mouth.
Yeah.
And you can't, if you take even this, you know, if you do anything, if you open those holes, the water's going to rush in. It's awful.
Yikes.
Mitchell and Jessen actually said that they wanted to stop or limit the use of waterboarding back in 2002 when this was all happening. But the CIA supervisors bullied them into continuing the program. They said that the head of the agency's counterterrorism center ordered them to continue and told them that, basically threatened them by saying, every day a nuclear bomb is going to be exploded in the United States, and that because I had told them to stop, I had lost my nerve, and it would be all my fault if I didn't continue to waterboard people. So basically, they called them pussies. They called them cowards. They said, you know, you've lost your nerve. Like, you have to do this. And they were basically bullied into it. But again, they made like 80-something million dollars.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think you were like pushed too far.
No, like just take the money and take be like, money, I retire.
Yeah.
I don't like these guys.
No, I don't buy anything they say. Terrible.
Because even after this, even after they were like, we were bullied into doing it, and even after they claimed that these techniques didn't cause any harm, they still were the ones that encouraged the CIA to destroy video footage that the agency had made of the interrogations because the videos were too graphic. So maybe you're all a piece of shit. Yep. Every one
maybe
of
you're
you.
All the I worst. I hate every single
As soon as I'm like, oh, well, maybe these guys were. No, they're
no,
awful.
No, they're no. bad.
They're all bad. And in case you haven't heard enough about how much you should hate the CIA,
bring it
I
on.
Have one more. And also, just by the way, we're going to have a full episode on the CIA, the NSA, the FBI later, hopefully this season, that's going to go in depth on some of their other controversies. So on like Snowden and like wiretapping and all the other crazy the shit they got up to. On. But like today, we're just talking about like the controversies that surrounded human rights violations. Well, I guess all of their controversies are kind of human rights violations, but this is like physical.
The fact that it's all legal is what's mind baffling.
That's what's the worst. Yeah.
It's legal. How?
And people are like okay with it because they see these, they're like, well, they're the bad guys. And it's like, no, they weren't. These men weren't charged with crimes.
Right.
They were not bad guys.
These
just because their skin was brown and they didn't speak English does not mean that they were bad guys and deserved to be tortured for literally years.
So right. I mean, that keeps tying into what we've been talking about of the fear of like at this time at 9/11 when it was like, if this person doesn't speak English, if they look different from you, fear them. Like that was what was being instilled.
Fear them. And also like, we don't care what happens to them.
No, they can be brutally tortured for days.
Yeah. All right.
All right, then.
Okay. So in 2002, CIA officers.
Great year.
Really good year for torture. Yeah. And so in 2002, CIA officers and psychologists under contract began torturing a man named Abu Zubaydah, which you may know. He was allegedly Osama bin Laden's kind of right-hand man. His like first officer.
I remember this. Yes.
He was supposedly his senior lieutenant and counterintelligence officer. although today it's pretty widely said to be a completely fictitious charge. And if not completely wrong, it was like way overstated. And, you know, again, just because people knew and worked around Osama bin Laden does not mean that they planned the attack on September 11th.
Yeah.
Like, he had never even been a member of Al-Qaeda. So, again, keep that in mind when I'm telling you this story. So in 2002, CIA officers began torturing him, and the techniques were supposed to be incremental, starting with open palm slapping to the belly or face. But operatives at the time decided to start with the toughest method, which was waterboarding. And they waterboarded Zubeda 83 times.
83?
83 times. He basically had to experience drowning 83 times. Which is awful. They later subjected him to sleep deprivation. They locked him in a large dog cage for weeks at a time. They locked him in a coffin-sized box, knowing that he had an irrational fear of insects, and put bugs in there with him.
What kind? Like any bugs?
Like spiders and scorpions and beetles. Yeah.
Not here for that.
Which just sounds like team too much.
Yeah.
CIA's former deputy director of operations, Jose Rodriguez, would later tell reporters that the torture worked and that Zubeda provided actionable intelligence that disrupted attacks and saved American lives. We know now, thanks to the Senate Intelligence Committee's report on CIA torture and the personal testimony of FBI agents, that this was completely false. He offered us literally zero intelligence that we could use. So he was horribly tortured for no reason. He's actually still at Guantanamo Bay, by the way. Yeah, he's still being held. He's not a free man.
And hasn't even done anything.
He got restitution. So he got like thousands of dollars given to him for the mistreatment and the human rights violations. But he's not a free man. Like, we're still holding him.
Commissaries? Commissaries.
Right. What's he doing with that?
I know. What's he doing with it? I guess maybe he gave it to his family. Now John Kiraku, a former CIA counterterrorism officer and former senior investigator with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Sorry, that's a lot of words. But this guy knew what was happening to Zubeda because of his position in CIA operations at the time. But he kept his mouth shut until 2007. When he said he had had enough, because President Bush had steadfastly denied to the American people that there was a torture program. He said, you know, I knew that was a lie. I knew that what they were doing to these men, and I knew that these men were like most likely not bad men.
Yeah.
And I also knew that torture did not work as an interrogation technique. So he had to fucking say something, because it was like torturing him to know this. So in December of 2007, he granted an interview to ABC News in which he said that the CIA was torturing its prisoners, that torture was an official U.S. government policy, and that the policy had been personally approved by the president. So this is basically like Snowden coming forward and being like, hey, guys, like, guess what? They are collecting all of your personal information.
Right.
They have access to all of your computers, all of your smartphones, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, having to go into hiding for the rest of his life. So he granted this interview to ABC. He said all this shit. And of course, the FBI began investigating him immediately after he did this. A year later, the Justice Department concluded he had not committed a crime, but CIA leaders were still furious that he had aired the agency's dirty laundry. And the CIA asked the new Obama Justice Department to reopen the case against him, which they did. And 3 years later, he was charged with five felonies, including three counts of espionage. Of course, the charges were eventually dropped because he literally didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. He didn't work for the CIA. He didn't sign any like NDA agreements or anything. He just said, like, I know they're lying, and this is why. But he pleaded to a lesser charge. He served 23 months in prison. Now, where the story takes an even darker turn, I'm sorry. There is a woman, a 33-year-old CIA veteran named Gina Haspel, known by many people who worked at the CIA as Bloody Gina. She was a protege of Chief of Staff for Jose Rodriguez, who was the guy who lied about Zubeda's crimes or lack thereof.
Right.
And she was the chief of base for the torture prison in which Zubeda was detained at the time of his torture. And she also was the one who assigned to order the destruction of videotaped evidence of his torture. So she's like, well, not a good lady.
She's not great.
Well, last year, Donald Trump elected her to be the director of the CIA. And that's fabulous. What she does now. She You're is kidding. Literally fabulous. The director of the CIA.
I'm not surprised by that. Me though. Neither. Like, no, from yeah. all of his other appointments.
If Donald Trump's going to elect a woman, it's going to be a woman who's known as Bloody Gina. Exactly. And is literally known as a war criminal. Like, yep. there are people who refer to her as a war criminal that know of her.
Of course Donald Trump wants her.
Yeah. This is, like, problematic for a billion reasons, but Donald Trump, you know, has publicly stated that he believes that torture works, even though there's no evidence to support this whatsoever. And his office has released a draft order stating an intention to make modifications and additions to these policies that the U.S. employs for lawful interrogation of enemy combatants captured in the fight against radical Islam. Of course, after she was elected, U.S. officials said that she was not involved in the torture of Zubeda, and she only became chief of base after the torture took place. But in August of last year, reports from the base from the time he was detained there, some written, some authorized by Haspel, were released because of a Freedom of Information lawsuit, and they describe the torture of Nashiri in detail. And the declassified document also shows that she played a role in the destruction of 92 interrogation videotapes, and also shows that the instruction for a new method of record keeping at the site, which is re-recording over the videos, came directly from her.
So she absolutely
100% was there, was involved, mm-hmm. deleted the tapes.
She was a wonderful human
She's
being.
She's really yeah. sweet. Jameel Jaffer, again, like I said, who is a part of the ACLU, describes her as quite literally a war criminal. So this not only, just to wrap up today, this not only worries human rights groups, but it also suggests that, you know, Donald Trump and his administration have taken no account of the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence's study of the CIA's detention and interrogation activity from 2001 to 2009. They actually, like, conducted studies. They had psychologists, psychiatrists come in and, like, perform these studies on, like, the intel that we were able to gather, mm-hmm. supposed intel we were able to gather yeah. from these years. And the report concluded, as did the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, also concluded that torturing prisoners was not an effective means of obtaining intelligence or cooperation. In fact, there are actual medical and psychological studies by professors of brain research who have actually proved that torture does not exact real information, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
Stress, fear, and pain undermine the brain's executive functions, including recall and cognition, making memories fallible and pushing individuals into confabulation that they may actually believe. Mm. So it actually does break them like it's supposed to,
right.
but not in a way that's good for extracting any real information.
No, like getting the honest truth.
They're
is
either
not going,
going to lie in hopes that they quit being tortured, or their brain will literally like make shit up. Mm-hmm. So like the men like Zubeda and the men I talked about earlier, Rahman and those guys, they were all tortured because men were tortured before them that gave the CIA those guys' names. So it's like a never-ending cycle of like, it was this guy,
it's this guy.
The
looking for.
Then they go get that guy and they torture him. And he's like, it's fucking this guy. And yep. then they go get that guy. And these men are like pulled out of their homes.
Right.
They have no idea why. And they're tortured until they give information that they don't have, because yeah. a lot of times they don't even know what's going on.
Right.
And it's really effective. So when Trump says things like fight fire with fire and that these people being tortured are guilty and not worthy of human rights, history proves that that just isn't true. As you can see, like the men I talked about today, all of them were innocent men. One is dead. Three are damaged beyond repair. And it's just not effective. And it's like an extreme human rights violation. And it's sort of like, I guess the hardest thing is that people, you know, just immediately think like, well, we wouldn't torture people unless they had done something wrong. But that's just not.
That's not true.
Accurate.
Mm-mm. It's clearly not useful at all. It is not a good way to get any information.
You would mm-hmm. think they would have learned that from the 1800s or the 1900s where they yeah. stopped it because it wasn't useful. But
exactly.
Of course not.
No, we've had to say this over and over, yeah. saying this doesn't work. And then someone still comes forward and is like, oh, yeah, like they deserve it. It's going to be good.
It's fine.
We got this.
And like serial killers torture their victims because they're, you know, it's a sadism. It's like sexual sadism. You know what I mean? But on a mass scale, it's usually an intimidation technique.
Right.
For the United States government, it's, you know, interrogation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. So it doesn't. Quit.
So stop it.
Stop.
We don't need it.
We don't.
All right, we should wrap up because you guys have something fun to do and I don't know what it is.
I have no idea either.
I don't think we even mentioned that Clarissa's girlfriend, Krina's here.
Yeah, she's here. She's listening.
She's been hanging out.
A really great Beetlejuice shirt.
I know, I love it.
Is that from you?
Clarissa got it for you? Gift.
Oh my God.
You guys are the best.
But they are visiting Los Angeles just for like the weekend to do a bunch of weird, kooky stuff, including come on our show.
We're so
Thank
honored.
Thank you so much for coming.
I'm so honored. You guys had me on the show. That's exciting.
Oh my God.
I finally got to meet you guys and actually join a conversation in person.
Yeah.
Not from my desk or my car.
Yeah, you're living
No
the dream.
Talking to your car.
You're living the like weird dream of actually being in the room with the people that are talking about
literally
really gross stuff.
We're so excited to have you on. We're so happy you guys are out here enjoying your weekend. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
And you're going to have to let us know what else you did since we can't know right now.
Of
because
course,
it's a surprise.
No
and I'm
clue,
dying
so.
To figure out. Tell us everything.
I didn't even know I was coming here today. Like that was,
I know.
That was supposed to be next week in my mind. And apparently to everyone else, it was not.
Nope.
So. We all knew.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned that. We surprised her today. Well, I guess you kind of knew yesterday. But we surprised you and gave you wine. And
an awesome mug.
Oh yeah, I forgot. And your mug.
Pretty
and
amazing.
Your Kit Kats and your magnets. There's a patch in there too.
There's a patch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot in your mug.
I'll have to.
A lot of secrets.
All kinds of treats.
Before we go, is there anyone you want to give a shout out to? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to? Anything at all? Any closing thoughts?
I also forgot to mention. I have a torture story from my hometown.
Wait, what?
Which I just remembered.
What's the story?
Tell
I
us the
hear
story.
About it.
Okay, so it's going to be kind of bizarre because my town is literally like population 3,000. And I can't find the article on this anywhere. Don't know why, but I remember it the day it happened.
Okay.
So there was this guy that was a brother of, you know, one of the residents of my town. Mm-hmm. He was in prison for quite a few years. When he got out of prison, he had at that point joined a gang, like they all do. And apparently he had to do a job to this guy from another town in Arizona. So he invited him over to his house, you know, for some, not his house. He actually used another guy's house for all of this.
Good.
So he invited him to that house, got him drunk, sat around, you know, just had fun, as so the other guy was thinking. At one point, it just turned sideways and he ended up being beaten, got all his fingers cut off, toes cut off,
oh
his penis
God.
Cut off. Everything.
Penis?
Yep. Everything that you could cut, like just little things that you could cut off. There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Any sticky outy thing.
Yeah. So then once he was done, he put him in a wheelbarrow, wheeled him down to this little area that we call the White Hills, because it's just literally in the middle of the desert, just big giant hill. And he buried him in a very shallow grave at the top of the hills. So little kids every day would walk home from school through the White Hills because it was a shortcut. And well, lo and behold, you could see the guy underneath it.
Oh,
and I remember I was like a freshman at the time or a sophomore or something. And I remember I was walking with my friend home from school and they had the whole block cut off with caution tape and everything. And at that time, my uncle was dating the guy who committed the torture, dating his sister. So I had the full 411 and the insights on everything. And before I came here, I actually tried to look up all of that, like, history in the article and stuff, and I cannot find it.
It's nowhere.
And I have no idea why.
Is it like a big cover-up, a big conspiracy?
No clue. Well, it was definitely gang-related because he was part of a gang, so I have no idea. But I remember seeing all the caution tape and seeing her crying because it was her brother and all this crazy stuff.
What year was this?
I was a freshman, so I was 14 at the time. So it was probably like...
So you were old enough to remember it correctly. Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, I was six, so maybe it was on TV.
Yeah.
No.
This
no.
is a memory.
Definitely,
you absolutely...
Yeah, oh, I definitely remember it.
Ooh.
I remember it.
That's
and
bad.
I remember I was scared to walk through. I actually still don't walk through the White Hills to this very day because they say, like, you, like, hear stuff when you walk through there. You hear whispers and all this other crazy stuff. So I just avoid it at night.
Right.
And
yeah, you don't need that energy in your life.
Walk around it.
No, and then when I heard about that and I saw the caution tape and I know what street it happened on, I never walked through those White Hills ever at this point.
I would not either.
Not a place for me to be.
It's just not a place for me to go.
It's not good for me.
No need unless I'm looking to dispose of a body.
Right.
And even then, maybe don't do it there because apparently it's not a good place to bury a body.
Not saying it should have happened in general, but he could have gone down the hill, down to like the middle of the whole deserty area and bury him. But no, he decided to do it at the top.
Out in the open.
Just left him there.
Maybe it was an intimidation thing. Maybe he wanted the body to be found so he could be like, gang.
Probably.
What
That's
up,
what you do when you're in a gang.
You just say, gang.
Gang.
Did it.
Thank you guys for listening. Anyone who's listening.
Thanks, weirdos.
Obviously, we have to thank Karina for helping us plan this episode. And
big
surprise. Follow us on social media. Oh, do you want to give out your Instagram handle? It's okay to say no.
Yeah, you guys can follow me at @C_Sanchez with 2 Z's on Instagram.
Double Z.
We'll tag you and stuff. You guys will be able to see it. And you can follow us on social media as per usual. All of our platforms are at Keep It Weird Cast. If you could please take a moment to rate and review our show on iTunes or on your Apple Podcast app, that would be super duper. Check out our Patreon page if you want to donate to and support our show. If you do so, you'll receive a monthly newsletter and a monthly mini-sode with the hilarious Amy Hanselman, who's been texting me during this episode. In our next episode, we're going to be discussing the human body, which is a kind of fun follow-up to torture,
it is.
I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like this
we're
one, we're like dissecting the human body.
Its edge.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk about...
We're going to talk about weird shit.
The weird shit
That's
the body
does.
That's
a great follow-up.
Yes, it is. It's a nice pairing. You should listen to them together. We have a very, very special guest coming on the show is going to be telling us about his body. Lauren is going to be telling us about the amazing things about her new body. And I'm going to share some crazy human body stories. So make sure you guys all tune in for that. Larissa, what's our sign off this week?
Don't torture people for the fun
that
of it.
That is a very
That's a good,
good
one.
Closing
that is important.
Thought.
Do not torture people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
You're not going to get anything but making yourself pure evil.
So our sign off today should be don't do a hit.
Don't do a hit.
Don't hurt
Definitely
your friend.
Don't do a hit. And
don't do a hit.
Don't walk
don't
through
do
dark
a kick.
Hills at night.
And don't walk through the White Hills.
Don't walk through the White Hills.
This is really
That's
just
my
like a
sign
list
off.
Of
don't
things.
Walk through the White Hills.
Don't walk
yeah.
through
I like that.
White Hills
Never
at
walk
night,
through the White Hills.
Ever. And keep it weird.
And keep
it
weird.
Yeah.
Like,
my
I
boundaries.
Know people who are like that.
Nope. Your boundary is Dunkirk.
Yeah, my boundary
exactly.
is, yeah.
Yeah.
My boundary is Dunkirk. I can't watch it.